Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. So glad you could join us on this Thursday morning. It is 9 o'clock on Central Standard Time. We are broadcasting live right now on four different platforms. You should try them out. They're working well. Number one, Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/xman777. And on our 24-hour-a-day, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. We are broadcasting live there as well, and we are broadcasting on YouTube, and we are broadcasting on Facebook, and we are so glad we are. And we hear the Lord saying, stretch out your tent pegs and lengthen your cords. I believe there are going to be greater platforms to go, because this is the hour that God has designed for his ecclesia, his people, to stand in the gap at a moment when fear is gripping the planet. God has an amazing plan for his people. We are part. If you can imagine this, if you could believe this, we are being employed into something that God has foreknown and predicted thousands of years ago, that there would be a people that would stand in the gap at the end of the ages. And we are here, and we're going to talk about it today. And I am so excited to do it. And I have three different possibilities of actually where to begin. But before I do, I want to make sure that as many people as are going to be joining us on the air today will do so. Remember, we are right now broadcasting on four different platforms, blogtalkradio.com/xman777, omegaradio.org, Facebook at Omega Radio Network, and YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV, all one word, New Wine Ministry TV on YouTube. Omega Radio Network is our page on Facebook. You'll find us live there right now. And on Blog Talk Radio and Omega Radio, just for the audio part of it. So again, we want to say good morning to Kevin Hauger, is giving us a thumbs up this morning. God bless you. Joyce Young is with us this morning. God bless you, Joyce. And I see also David Ellefson is with us this morning thus far. So good morning to all of you. Good morning to our friends on Blog Talk Radio right now that are calling in. I see some good friends there. David Ellefson saying, Nicole and I sure miss you guys and the church. Well, we miss you too, Dave. Your sense of humor is unparalleled. Is that the right word? It's awesome. We miss it. We value it very much. Both you and Nicole, beautiful people, and trust that you are doing well where God has brought you to. And so as we get ready to launch, I want to say good morning to Melissa Fletcher. She's joining us right now. Good morning to Melissa. Praise the Lord. We're waiting for all our friends to get on there. We have the bus corps that is going to be tuning in here very soon. Melissa is one of them, I believe. And the bus corps is all of our friends out there that are taking care of the children in Northwest Arkansas by busing them to their schools, picking them up, dropping them off, picking them up at the end of the day and bringing them back home. So God bless all the bus drivers out there. And to all of the truckers that are out there today, God bless you. You guys are absolutely amazing and awesome to be doing what you're doing. God bless the truckers. God bless the first responders, the police department, the fire department. God bless all the people that care about life, care about this country, care about the things belonging to God, that love morality and righteousness and holiness, even though they themselves do not deem themselves to be holier than thou or any such thing. Humble servants, my God, how beautiful it is. I believe the day is coming on this earth that God's glorious kingdom is going to shine like the brightness of seven suns. In fact, we're told in the book of Revelation that there will not be any need of the sun or the moon because the light of the celestial city is the glory of God. The glory of God. Can you imagine his effulgence, his light, his glory emanating out from himself? The light of the world, the Lamb of God, is going to be able to lighten the city and the nations of the earth without the sun or moon or stars. Mamma mia. How incredible is that? Well, praise the Lord. I have so much I want to share with you today. And I want to begin. And I see Evangelist Hunaid Masi. God bless you all, dear pastor. God bless you, Evangelist Hunaid. God bless you. And God bless your labor of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Laquita, there they come. They're starting to roll in right now. Laquita, good morning to you, our dear sister in the Lord. God bless you. And the others that will be joining us, keep on coming. Remember, we are broadcasting right now live on four different platforms. There are people that are listening right now on omegaradio.org. They are listening on blogtalkradio.com/xman777. They are listening on YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV, and they are listening on Facebook on our Facebook page at Omega Radio Network. I want to say good morning to our sister Cindy. Cindy is one of the forerunners into the bus corps. I like to call the bus corps of intercessors, and they pray. These bus drivers and aides and the people that are associated with transportation in the Northwest Arkansas region, they are intercessors extraordinaire. They are praying for so many different things. God bless all of them. And again, to everybody tuning in, I see Sarah Ankerman is now joining us all the way from San Diego, California. Sarah, God bless you. Stay in the course. Hope you're doing well. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Hey, I wanted to tell the people that are tuning in right now that we have an amazing broadcast, and I'm going to begin the broadcast out of Amos chapter 3. That's where we're going to go today. Amos chapter 3, and I'll read the first few verses, and I'll begin in verse 1. So Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying. Now, this is not the point of the message here, okay? So just kind of listen until we get to a particular verse that I think is very important for where we are right now. Amos 3:2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Yikes. And then verse 3, two walk together except they be agreed. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Verse 5, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Now listen carefully to verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. You know, that is pretty amazing when you step back and you think about it, that God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret, what he's going to do, unto his servants, the prophets. I find that to be fascinating, quite frankly. That God has a secret of what he's going to do, and it's concealed, but he reveals it to his prophets so that the prophets will speak to the people so that they may know what God is going to do. I think that's a fascinating system of communication. I think that's awesome. And so whether, you know, and again, this is not the emphasis on the prophets. The prophets are not the emphasis. The word of the Lord is the emphasis. What God is going to do is the emphasis. Unfortunately, there's always been a battle in this realm about who's really hearing from the Lord, right? And so you go back to Jeremiah 28, which we ministered on last week, how that Hananiah was a prophet that spoke, thus saith the Lord, and Jeremiah was at his right hand saying, no, that's not what God said. This is what the Lord said. And there's always been this battle within what is deemed the prophets of who's speaking the truth, who's really unveiling the mystery of God's heart. I believe that God will speak to a prophet in a word, in a vision, and in a dream. And I believe that God will reveal things to that prophet, to that vessel, so that that vessel will impart the revelation to the people for a purpose. I believe this is true, and I believe it's accurate. So what is it that is the word of the Lord? Isn't that what we're all wanting to know right now? What is the word of the Lord to the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones? What is the word of the Lord to the ecclesia made up of the Jew and the Gentile, nations of the earth, the two becoming one new man in the earth? That new man is Christ. He's the pneuma man, pneuma being spiritual man, as opposed to the psuche or the soul man. Okay, so we have two men in the earth, Adam and Christ. You and I have been born in Adam, but we've been born again into Christ. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We have been born again. We have become new creations in Christ Jesus, literally, according to Titus, a new species. And the new species of mankind that you and I have become through the regeneration and baptism of the Holy Spirit is the species of Christ, the second man from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15. The first man is of the earth, he is earthy. The second man is from heaven, and he is heavenly. You and I have been part of the earthly man of Adam. We have been born again into the heavenly man of Christ. And so we are putting off the old man, and we are putting on the new man. This is the word of God. This is biblical New Testament reality. It is clear, it is precise, that you and I who have been born again are going through a transformation inwardly by the renewing of our minds, and we are being conformed into the image of the firstborn Son of God, who is the firstborn of many brethren. And he is bringing many brethren into glorification. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that. And so you and I who have truly been born again, who have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives and have received of his grace and his truth and his mercy and kindness and love and forgiveness, we are undergoing a metamorphosis. We are undergoing a transformation, a change from the inside out, not necessarily first in the brain, but in the spirit. And that's where we've been born again, in our spirit. God put his seed in our spirit. Now, Our mind is in the need of being renewed. We need to be changing the way we think. We need to get rid of old thought patterns and narratives and schematics and scripts that had been written in our soul. The script of our forefathers, the script of our parents, the script of our upbringing in school or family or neighborhood or whatever. And God is rewriting the script in our heart through the scriptures. Okay, so this is really important stuff as far as I'm concerned, because this has everything to do with the eternal purpose of God. See, you and I are part of an eternal purpose, not a momentary, temporary thing that's going on here on earth. You and I have been created for eternal life. You and I, who are born again and possess the Holy Spirit, we have within us presently the eternal Spirit of God, which means regardless of what may happen in this temporary world, we go on forever. And God is preparing you and I for eternity, which is an amazing thought when you really think about it. However, God does not want us on this earth without purpose. There is meaning for our lives. There is substance for our lives today. There are things that we are being employed into, called into. There is a calling. There are works that you and I are being called to do. And so here we are. We're living in this time. It's February, what is it, the 4th, 2021, and the world is changing dramatically. And yet, at the same time, the world is the world. It's always been the world when you really stop and think about it. But now, with all this eternal purpose going on in our lives, no matter what we're doing, whether we're males or females, whether we are bus drivers or we're the owners of the bus company, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Titles don't matter. Pastor, prophet, apostle, evangelist, teacher, deacon, bishop, none of that matters. Those are simply callings and giftings from God into our lives. It kind of displays a little bit of what we're doing. But we're not called human doings. We are called human beings. And we are to be like Christ. And that's what the transformation is all about. So, having said that, I want to continue the conversation. I believe God is revealing his secrets and his mysteries to his prophets. In the New Testament, I believe God is revealing his secrets and his mysteries to the ecclesia, to the church. And I do know, according to scripture, that there is a prophetic office. There is the mantle of a prophet in the New Testament. I know that. I know that there are apostles and there are prophets and there are evangelists and pastors and teachers. I know that those callings are from God for the edifying of the church. But I also know that every single member of the body of Christ has been given the right to prophesy or to declare the events that are coming. That is not, you know, relegated to a few. All of God's children in this time, this dispensation, because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we all possess. In the Old Testament, God would put his spirit on a prophet. God would put his spirit on Moses or David, a king or a leader. But in the New Testament, God has given his spirit to every one of us. And therefore, every one of us has the potential to prophesy or to declare events to come. We should know, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will reveal to us things to come. So the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, the ability to foretell or to predict what is coming is literally on the inward parts of all of God's children who have received the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. So having said that, where are we now? What is God saying to the time frame that we are living in? What is God saying to the time that we are living in? Well, I want to go to something, and I want to go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. All right. Everybody settled in, got some coffee. I have water. Praise God. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And let's read a few verses, because what I'm about to share with you, I have a very dear brother and friend in Australia by the name of Daniel Seckham. And Daniel, who has been with us, we were the first people in the United States to have Daniel come, and God launched his ministry all over this country. He stayed in our home. We've had many deep conversations. And one of the things that Daniel has ministered on this radio broadcast for a number of broadcasts has been what I'm about to share with you right now. It's God's word, but it was brought up, and after hearing it several times, it really is beginning to make a lot of sense. And by the way, concerning Daniel Seckham, Daniel was coming on live with me on Wednesdays at 1, 2, and 3 in the morning his time. So 9 o'clock our time on Wednesday was 1 o'clock in the morning his time, or according to the daylight savings, 2 o'clock in the morning. He was staying up till 3 in the morning. It was exhausting. So what I wanted to do was start pre-recording with him, but the only way I could do that is around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock our time. And because of our schedule, it's impossible. I cannot do it. And so until Daniel and I find out a better way how to come back on the air, because there's a dynamic there, quite frankly, we just have to wait. But I could not pre-record for him at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening because of our Bible studies during the week and just the sheer exhaustion, quite frankly. He was able to do it, but he wasn't pastoring a church and he wasn't, you know, doing some other things. So it's a little different. So we're going to find a way to get that to work. So pray for Daniel. I need to talk to him anyways. Now, I want to move on to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to increase this right here because here's where I want to stay. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, let's talk about it as we go. So according to the prophet Daniel, God told him in the future, there was going to come a time of trouble upon the nation. Okay? A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So what we have to do is go back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel in the house of bondage in Egypt, bringing them out of the house of bondage into the wilderness. God gives them a law, gives them a constitution. God gives them commandments. He forms a people and makes out of them a nation. So from that time, Israel has experienced troubles along the way. Whether they were the troubles of going into Babylon or the Assyrian persecution that came against them. And in 70 AD, Israel came into a time of trouble again. And at that time of trouble in 70 AD, we know that Israel was scattered to the ends of the earth. They were scattered to the ends of the earth. Very interesting. And they lost their temple. They lost their homeland. They were scattered around in 70 AD. We know that in 1948, which really, when you look at the time frame, you're talking 1960 some odd years, 1900 years after 70 AD, Israel is now coming back because of the Balfour Declaration. They're now coming back to their own homeland. The Jewish people, the Israeli people, the Hebrew people are beginning to make their way home. There are documents being ratified. There are covenants being signed. There are legal documentations within the United Nations, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, 1948, the Israeli people, the Jewish people start returning to their home. After all these persecutions, and 70 AD was pretty bad, wasn't it? I mean, it was horrible. So was 586 when Nebuchadnezzar crushed them. And so when the Assyrians did, and we can go on down the line. Now, and so was the Nazi persecution, by the way, where 6 million Jews were killed before they came back to their own homeland. So these people, wherever they were persecuted, whether it was in Spain, whether it was in Germany, et cetera, et cetera. So 1948 comes, the documents are signed, and the return home begins. And then we know in 1967, the Six-Day War came about, and Israel fought for its independence. It fought for its sovereignty. We know that they won a supernatural war against many of their neighbors who were warring against them. This is history. This is verified. This is fact. We know since 1967, there's been turmoil in the Middle East. Nonetheless, Israel has exponentially risen to a nation on planet Earth that has served as a valuable component to technology and through many other sources. The desert has bloomed. The people have come in mass. There is a thriving city, a bustling city. Now Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, that sovereign nation. So, but Daniel is saying that there is going to come a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Now, Jesus said it this way: there will come a time of great tribulation that has never been before and will never be again. Okay, so that's the tie-in of Matthew 24, the teaching of Jesus Christ. So, even to that same time, and at that time, this time of trouble, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. All right, so there's a book, there are names in the book, and every person's name written in the book during this time of trouble that Daniel's talking about will be delivered. And then it says in verse 2, many of them that sleep or are dead in the dust of the earth shall awake. This is the resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, this is really important, because here Daniel's talking about the resurrection. We know in 70 AD, when a time of trouble hit, there was no resurrection of the dead in 70 AD. There was a resurrection the day Jesus died on the cross. We know that the graves were open in a supernatural event, that the dead bodies of the saints came to the people of Jerusalem. That was amazing. Matthew 27 in 50 and 51 tell us all about it, or 58. So it's in Matthew, the last 27 or 28, it's there about the resurrection. But that was not what Daniel's talking about. He says a time of trouble that has never been since there was a nation. And at that time, people will be delivered. And then it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's resurrection. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Wow. Now, this fits into what Jesus taught, what Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what he taught in 1 Corinthians 15. This is all connected, this event, the resurrection. And we know when the resurrection will take place because we've read our Bibles and understand that we who are alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which died or have slept. For the Lord shall descend, the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remaining will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That happens at the coming of the Lord after the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. That's in your Bible. Very clear. Then he says in verse 3, so what I'm saying, that Daniel is saying, is that this time of trouble that he's referring to has not already been fulfilled, or the resurrection would have already been accomplished. And Paul refuted teachers 2,000 years ago that were suggesting that the resurrection had already taken place and they had overthrown the faith of some of the believers. So the resurrection that Daniel's talking about has not occurred. Therefore, the time of trouble spoken by Daniel has not yet occurred either. But Israel is now a nation. It could not have occurred in the last 1900 years because Israel was not a nation. So the time of trouble that Daniel's talking about is coming. It's ready to happen. Okay, let's go a little bit deeper. It says in verse 3, "And they that be wise in this time shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Praise God. Superstars, shining stars, eternal. Hallelujah. And what are they doing? They are turning many to righteousness, and they are as the stars forever and ever. Praise God. Now, in verse 4, "But you, O Daniel," but you see, wait a second. Let me unpack that a little further. "They that be wise," in other words, having wisdom of what's going to be happening. We are now being foretold that a time of trouble is coming, and the book of Revelation 13 tells us about that time. The book of Revelation is a prophecy all about that time. Daniel's telling us about that time. Jesus told us about that time in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Paul the Apostle wrote about it in Thessalonians and Corinthians. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. So there's been a tremendous amount of information about this particular time at the end of the ages. Michael standing up goes back to Revelation 12. Michael and his angels fighting. All right. But notice in verse 3 that those who are wise about this moment, when this time of trouble comes, what are they going to be doing? They are going to be as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So what is going to be happening at this time? There are going to be people that have wisdom, so they've prepared, and they are going to shine as the brightness. They're going to be a light to the people in darkness. They are going to be a guiding force. They're going to be a lighthouse. They are going to be direction. They are going to be a monument. You could call it whatever you want to. But the wise are going to shine. Hallelujah. And then turning many to righteousness, which means evangelism and the ecclesia sharing the truth, saving souls, because it's going to be a brutal time all over the world, according to Revelation. And we know it's true. So there'll be evangelism, preaching Jesus Christ, a final call. Listen to this. A final call is at the door. For those of you that used to frequent the pub, you know that around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, the final call came for the last drink. Well, the final call is at the door. Because we are the generation that Israel is a nation. What Daniel was talking about was not in the past because there was no resurrection. So there's something ready to happen. The global new world order is ready to commence. The greatest tribulation, the time of trouble, is about to go forth. And yet the people that have wisdom will be shining brightly, telling the truth. And the evangelism to save souls will commence. And I believe that we have brief moment, a final call to get the gospel preached around the world right now. The time of the two witnesses that are disturbing the world order, holding it back, striking the earth with plagues, prophesying, right? They're troubling the world system. They can't bring it together. The new world order is restrained. There's something holding it back, and they're angry. And these prophets, these two witnesses of Revelation 11 are disturbing them. They're tormenting them. That's why when they're dead, the world rejoices, because now comes the gathering together of the nations to begin the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. So that's right ahead. But right now, there is this moment, the last call, is what God told me to call it, the last call. Now, in verse 4, "But you, O Daniel," now Daniel was told, thousands of years ago. You, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end. So Daniel shut up the words. He was told to shut up the words, conceal them, and seal the book. How many of you know in the book of Revelation that the Revelation prophecy actually begins with a book with seven seals, and with each seal that opens, a revelation unveils? Come on. And that book is sealed until the time of the end. And that's why for 2,000 years in the church age, people have been looking at the prophecy, but its time of fulfillment had not yet come. Now, the book of Revelation and the seals and the mysteries are now opening up wide so that we can understand it. That's why we need to look at it again. You, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, the idea of many running to and fro, let me show you what the Hebrew actually says that means. Running to a friend, and fro is the shoot, okay? It's a primitive root. It means shoot in the Hebrew. It means to push forth. So many are going to be pushing forth. It's like lashing the sea with oars. There's going to be hard rowing. It means to travel, to go about, a mariner, a rower, to run to and fro. So what he's saying is that during this time of the delay between the time and the coming of what's happening, there's going to be people just pushing, traveling, moving, running, beating the waves with their oars. And then he says, in verse 4 again, and knowledge shall be increased. The word knowledge there is the da'af, and it means, this is very good, perception, skill, understanding, discernment, cunning. Ah, there it is, the cunning. It also goes to a deeper Greek word, the yada. I don't want to get into all that definition, but what most have come to understand about this particular phrase is that knowledge will increase or shall be increased, and we see technology today through artificial intelligence, et cetera, that everything is on a little telephone or the size of a pin where you could put thousands of bits of information and billions and all that stuff. So knowledge has increased. And that's the phrase there, shall be increased, as the rava, which means knowledge will become the rava. It will increase. It literally means it will bring in authority. It will enlarge. It will become great. Okay, these are all the definitions, to become great, to become much. And it just gets into this idea. And that's exactly what we are witnessing today. It is a sign of the times, if we will hear that word from the Lord. Now, so after God tells Daniel to seal up the book in verse 5, because we're getting to the where we want to be here, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So whatever Daniel saw in the advancement of technology, the advancement of knowledge, people traveling, people pushing, I mean, what was he seeing in the spirit? My God, usually when God speaks to us, we're seeing things, right? And it's kind of, whoa, our sanctified imaginations are picking it up. So Daniel's seen all this, and now he's asking a question to a man that is standing on water. Listen to this in verse 7. Listen to this. I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that lives forever. Do you know That exact same description is in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, when that mighty angel lifts up his right hand and left hand and swears by him that lives in the heavens that there will be time no more. This is a mini picture of the book of Revelation. There's no doubt about it, right? So what does he say? It says he swore by him that lives forever that it shall be for a time. Now, Bible scholars said that's a year. And times, that's two more years, that's 3 years. And a half, which is 3.5 years. And that's going to be 3.5 years of these things that he's going to see taking place and happening. And when he shall have accomplished, to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. This is the amazing phrase I wanted to get into today. He's going to scatter the power of the holy people. I've heard Daniel Seckham talking about this several times, and it got in there, but I think it's exploding right now with understanding. So what does it mean that he's going to scatter the power of the holy people? Number one, we're talking about what is holding back the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have to go there. Something is restraining the Antichrist, right? What is it? Well, the two witnesses or the two prophets, whoever they are, in Revelation 11, they are literally restraining the New World Order from forming. They are the ones that are tormenting the people on the earth. And when they're dead, all the kings of the earth start to send presents one to another. And then kicks in Revelation 12 and 13. So what is restraining? What is shaking the earth? What is frustrating the God of this world? What is frustrating the powers of darkness? The church or the holy people have always been in the way of the New World Order, the powers of darkness, the satanic kingdom, from establishing itself all over the world at the same time dominating all the nations of the world. This is Lucifer's desire to be God once and for all, get you Christians out of the way. Now, how is he going to do that? He's going to, not through a pre-tribulational rapture, not a rapture of the church that disappears and they're gone. No, they is going to scatter the power. The word scatter means, this is big, it means it's the nafats, and to scatter means to dash to pieces. Ooh. Be beaten in sunder, to break, to dash. Wow. So the powers of the earth, satanically inspired, are going to be granted the right. We know this in Revelation 13, that we'll read it in just a little bit. He has power over the saints. He overcomes them. How does he overcome the saints? Not by a pre-trib rapture, but by the breaking, by the dashing, by the beating to pieces their power. So he scatters, beats, breaks, dashes. He scatters what? The power. The power there is the yod. And the word yod, this is very interesting, literally means a hand, the open one. All right, so it's talking about the open hand as opposed to the closed hand. And the open hand indicates power, and it means direction. Oh, my goodness. What has the church always been designed by God to be? A light in the darkness, to be a lighthouse, a monumental tower, to bring light. And yet what's going to happen, the powers of darkness are going to crush the ability of the church to bring direction. And it's already happening because of the conflicting and confused messages and the weakening of the moral condition and the spiritual condition of believers. who have become lukewarm and compromised, that no longer can stand out as a witness and produce pure light and energy to tell people the truth and the way. They've compromised the calling to promote the light of the world, in other words. This is powerful. This is powerful. So he's going to dash to pieces the open hand that gave direction. And when there's no direction anymore, the darkness will come. The church will have no influence in this world to say anything or do anything in a global setting, and will become the targets of the New World Order mark of the beast. So it gets a little intense, doesn't it? But imagine that he scatters the power. He breaks the ability for the church to direct. Why? Because he's scattering the power of who? The holy people. Now, once the power is dashed to pieces, once there's no longer light and truth, but everything is lies and deception, false gospels, false doctrine, false teaching, people believing and feeding on lies because they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. When this is happening, now the Antichrist will come to power. And at that point, there's nothing that will restrain him. The restraint is gone. What was the restraint? It was the church producing the light to bring exposure. It's coming to an end. This is, in my understanding of Bible prophecy and the prophetic mantle of God through the Holy Spirit, this is the final call for the ecclesia, the holy people, made up of Jew and Gentile, living in the last days before the time of trouble hits, to shine as stars in heaven, to have wisdom as the brightness of the firmament, to be a light, to tell the world and tell all people what's coming, to get saved, to put your trust, your eternal soul in the hands of God through Jesus Christ. This is the final call. This is the moment. The two witnesses. Tell it however you want to. It's the final call. It is the door of Noah's Ark getting ready to close. It is the day of salvation coming to an end. It is the dispensation of grace coming to a close. It is the last moment for humanity. The final call to reach out to all people on the planet that are serving the cause of Lucifer, to repent, for we have all served the cause of Lucifer, according to Ephesians 2, at one time or another in our lives. We were all under the god of this world. We need to tell the world rulers, we need to tell as many people as God would allow us to tell. Something evil is coming. God's end time prophecy is coming to pass. Nobody's going to stop it. And your frustration with the church, the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile made up as one new man, your frustration with them is going to intensify for a moment, but then that witness is going to die. And they're going to kill that witness, which means persecution, martyrdom, the killing fields of Cambodia, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Nazi Holocaust, all combined against Christians and Jews. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. Well, when that time comes, then everything will be finished. So, you know, where do we pick up from here? Is that clear? Is it palatable? Is it tangible? Is it substance? Is it meaty? Does it bring understanding to what you and I are doing here right now? That we are the only speaking spirits in the universe that can speak God's truth, God's word, to understand and know that the time of trouble that Jesus called the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face, has never been and never will be again, is right now, because Israel is a nation within our generation. Come on. It's so clear. But there's great deception and delusion and distraction. Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. Wow, I get it. I get it. I get it. But I don't got it. It's like the guy in the field. I got it. I got it. He drops the ball. I don't got it. Right now you're saying, I get it. I get it. But the distractions in 15 minutes after the program, you forget about it. Why? Because there's an active spiritual war against your mind. The devil will bring warfare against you to get you distracted from knowing your life here on earth is temporary. It is a vapor. It really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you are walking in holiness and truth with the Lord. That's all that matters. You cannot prevent martyrdom. You cannot prevent all the evils that the devil is going to want to hit you with. But I know this, he cannot touch you until you're done prophesying. He cannot touch you until you get the words of God out into the open for anybody that has an ear to hear. Because when those witnesses are done, their lives are killed. But then they resurrect and they go up before the eyes of their enemy. Oh, and then it gets really intense. This is in the Word, right? This is in the Word. So, let's take a look right now. We got questions out there, so let's get to some great questions. Let's get to Blog Talk Radio. Hey, if you have any questions or comments, you might want to call into the broadcast right now. The number is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you into the conversation. But again, God doesn't do anything with first revealing it, okay, to the vessels that he wants to reveal through. Is something being revealed to us right now? Is God telling us something? I know we've heard a lot, but faith comes by hearing and hearing. So let's get to some of the comments that I'm seeing right now in the chat room. We'll get all the good mornings through there. And I'm going to start with our friends in South Dakota are telling us winter is upon us in South Dakota this morning, but we know God is with us. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God is with you wherever you are. Amen. Because you love him and serve him. Okay, Denny says, Denny and Sally, good morning, Pastor, and all you beautiful saints. Good morning to Denny and Sally, beautiful couple. Sarah Ackerman says, going through a metamorphosis like a butterfly. I love it. I love it too, because if in the midst of all this confusion and chaos, we're going through a transformation or a metamorphosis, and we're being changed from a caterpillar crawls on the earth to a butterfly that flies in the spirit, hallelujah, beautiful, beautiful butterflies. Sarah also says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I've got a friend that's going to be joining me right now for just a little bit. She's going to bring up a chair over here, and we're going to get her a microphone, and we're going to have her speak. She must have something very important to say. And Joyce, good morning to you. Let's get you a little bit into the microphone there.
Good morning.
And say good morning. You are usually in our chat room, and you're visiting Patricia this morning.
Yes.
In our home, and you wanted to come down, and you have something you'd like to share with the people.
Yes. Okay. Yesterday in the mail, we got this from World Magazine. Are you familiar with World Magazine?
Okay. No, I'm not. Okay. The Insurrection Heresy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ever since Ken and I became Christians, we've been getting this. It's Christian. It's news from a Christian perspective. That we are not happy with the way world is going. They made a character. See, you can see it's a caricature. I don't know.
Let me see. I'll put it right here. It's a caricature of who? Da 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 da.
You know, of the Trump supporters.
Oh, the Trump supporters.
And okay. And I know you were there, so I wanted to talk to you about it, that the way they presented Christians here, I'm very disappointed. Ken and I are not going to keep our publication with them. And so it's not, I think the article, okay, I think the article is making fun of making light of people that came to the rally and the reason why, the real reason why they came.
Okay.
And there were, and you know, I know you were there and I know from your perspective and other perspective, but they didn't show that in this magazine. They didn't even talk about Antifa, and we know for sure that Antifa was there. And they, you know, were not making fun. They were calling out the Christians and, you know, how the things that they did wrong there. But the news, I might as well listen into the mainstream. You know, it's almost like they are.
And this is a Christian magazine.
This is a Christian magazine.
Okay.
I might as well watch CNN.
Okay.
And I think that they, and Ken and I are going to write them. And it's an example to me of how the Christians are dividing on to go with the world, you know, to get along. How's that saying go? To get along.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be harder to be on the narrow path, because as long as you're doing the narrative of taking the shot, wearing the mask, social distancing, going to church that you know.
Speak right into that camera.
All right. I agree with you on being on the narrow path and cleaning ourselves out, and what it is to be one of the five virgins that are ready when Jesus comes. And this kind of article doesn't do anything to edify Christ and us being separated.
Okay, so the powers that be behind this particular magazine are basically, rather than supporting the Trump supporters, the multitudes of Christians that were actually there on January 6th that were very conservative and mild and peaceful and love their country, this Christian magazine is slandering them?
I think so. And what about the Constitution? You know,
freedom of speech?
Yeah.
And so, and they're blaming the couple of hundred people, if even that, that broke into the Congress, and they're reflecting their actions on the other hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Where we're going, and you know, how to be a Christian. What is a real Christian during this time? We can't go back to normal. We're just going to church on Sunday and living our life the way we want. I mean, and I agree with you. You know, the things are happening for a reason, and we should be preparing. And every generation thinks that Jesus is coming, but Revelation, the way it's been written, is it. We don't know when Jesus is coming, so we are to be preparing, not to live in fear, but to be become more like Jesus. And I just
Amen.
Glad God brought you and Patricia in our lives, and you were helping me. And I wasn't planning on being on here today. I did want to talk to you about this.
Okay. Well, you did a great job, and again, this is a Christian organization that puts out information to other Christians that are standing against their own brethren who were at a rally that were, you know, there were street preachers out there everywhere.
Oh, yeah, they made fun of the...
They made fun of the street preachers?
Yeah, look, you know, people, you know, like, so this picture...
Oh, my gosh.
You know...
What did they... Go come this way. Yeah, there you go. So they made fun of these guys?
Yeah, it looked like he was praying. I mean, it just... You got to read this.
I will read it. I'll look into it.
But anyway.
So a lot of stuff. All right. A word you want to say to anybody before you go? Just what do you want to tell the saints?
To keep working on ourselves and dying to ourselves and cleaning ourselves out and so that we can have more of the Holy Spirit and we can make a difference. And that's what I've learned from the Xaviers, and they are the real deal. I've spent time with them. So if you haven't met them, they're wonderful. God bless.
God bless you. Well, thanks, Joyce. I appreciate that. All right. So that is Joyce Young. You'll see her on a chat room oftentimes. And she and Ken are some of our favorite friends. We've known them for a long time. And by the way, they sell what is called Organo Gold Coffee. They are Organo Gold distributors. And that's a part of our relationship. And if you ever want some of the best coffee in the world, which is the Gerudermal Mushroom, you could actually contact them and they'll get you some healthy coffee that we've been drinking for years and years. So having said that, that was a little plug for them. We don't sell it. We're not distributors. We just love to drink our coffee. Now, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Can you believe it? See, this is the time where scattering the power of the holy people is inward fighting, civil wars, divisions, debates, and all these different things. And it's coming. And before you know it, man, the civil war in the church, that's why God calls to the remnant, come out of her. Come out of the nonsense. Anybody that is writing against the people that were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and they're trying to take the couple of hundred, if there were even that went into the Congress building, the Capitol building, and trying to reflect their actions on the hundreds of thousands, if not million, other people that were there, is such an atrocity. It is such a hypocrisy. The people, the 99.999% of the people that were there, did nothing. No broken windows, no burning fires, no riots, no killing people, punching people. A small fraction did something, probably inspired by Antifa. 9 months of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you've heard it. Come on, expose it. You know why you got to talk about it? Because people are believing the news media. You know why? The news media, according to Cecil B. Rhodes, is the mechanism that controls the minds of the masses. And now that you have CNN and Fox News and Newsmax and all these news outlets that refuse to tell the truth and are jumping on the bandwagon about how bad January 6th was, is utter hypocrisy. I was there amongst the peaceful, conservative Christians who did nothing of the sort of the people that did what they did, that they're showing. Nothing. 9 months, people were in their homes, sleeping with their children. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, showed up at their homes and terrorized them. People were at restaurants eating meals, being terrorized. Churches were burnt to the ground. Police departments were burnt to the ground. Businesses were burnt to the ground. Violence, killing. For 9 months, for goodness sake. And the people are capitulating to the powers that be with through fear that somehow January 6th was the worst day. And now Christians, like our friend Joyce just revealed, Christians are now saying that those bad Trump supporters, you know, I understand as a man, as a Christian man, I understand the injustice and how people feel about injustice. I understand why 80 million supporters of the president, Donald J. Trump, are frustrated. It seemed while Antifa and Black Lives Matter were destroying our country, defecating on the streets of our cities, barricading themselves in, that the left understood their frustration. They understood the frustration of the leftists and said, let them vent. Let them vent. They're just frustrated. Well, I understand the frustration of 80 million Americans who just had their votes robbed, where lawyers throughout this nation had volumes of information that the courts just would not hear, of a rigged election that the president of the United States, the president's staff, the people around the president knew, the evidence, the videos, all of it, the machines. I understand why 80 million Americans would be frustrated. And yet, in their frustration, 99.99999% of them did nothing in Washington, D.C. or anywhere else. You didn't see cities in America burning. You haven't seen riots and businesses boarding up. What is that? Hypocrisy. Pure hypocrisy. Well, I understand that 80 million Americans would love to vent against the evil injustice of our moment. Don't you understand it? Why, Nancy Pelosi, did you understand Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the venting of the left? Why did you understand that? But you can't understand the venting frustration of people that have just been robbed, whose votes matter not because of the deception. And you say, oh, that's not true. Yes, it is. Many of the things the left believed that they were frustrated about were not true. He's a nationalist and a Nazi and a white supremacist and all that garbage. I understand why 80 million Americans are frustrated, but what are they doing with their frustration? They're not burning down businesses. What are they doing? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Hypocrites. Now, the problem with that is that in Isaiah chapter 10, God says, I am going to send a force of power against a hypocritical nation. There's a force coming. There's a force of power. To Israel, who was the hypocritical nation, he sent the Assyrians. Read it, Isaiah chapter 10. Today, God is aware of the hypocrisy within our nation. And it's usually because of the sin of the nation that these things happen. Like pedophiles on Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, John Roberts, all the boys that are pedophiles. It's no different. All the Rhodes Scholars, I mean, Cecil B. Rhodes and the rest of them were pedophiles. They loved the little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boys. They loved it. And so no doubt Bill Clinton being part of the Rhodes Scholar is one of them. They're homosexuals and little boy-loving people. This is what fills the halls of power in America today. Lesbians, homosexuals, pedophiles, all of it exists in our society today. So God sees this and God says, I will send a force of power against a hypocritical nation. And when that force of power, whatever it is released, the nation will crumble. And then out of the ashes will come a new world order. That's just the simple truth. That's simple truth. But you're telling me you don't understand why 80 million Americans are frustrated? But then you have the capitulating masses, these Christians that we just heard about, churches, pastors, Newsmax, Fox News, Ted Cruz crying out, shame on the president for saying the election was rigged. What a hypocrite. They're all hypocrites. They're all liars. And yet through the news media, the masses are being dumbed down. And there's no voice. This is the final call. Joe Biden's America, Kamala Harris, AOC, Omar, Ilmar, Omar, Rashida Tlaib. Who are these people? Who are these people? They remind me of what it says in Isaiah, that people will narrowly look upon Lucifer and say, you're the man that shook the nations? Who are you people? The power of the United States of America is intended by the founding fathers to be we the people of the United States. The problem is we the people, the citizens of the United States, are now divided. CNN's doing an article, Divided We Stand. No, Jesus's wisdom is better than CNN's. Divided, you fall. A house divided cannot stand. So there's a dumbing down, a hypocrisy, and people's minds are feeding on it, and it is a shame. That's why Joyce just came on and was shockingly ashamed at the utter hypocrisy and the capitulation of Christian pastors and organizations. You know why? They're afraid. They're afraid of persecution. They're afraid of laying their lives down and giving up their ministries. They're afraid of losing their 501c3s. They're afraid. Is that the church that Christ died for? Is that the kind of people that Christ intended to raise up to stand in the gap in the last days? None of us personally, inwardly, individually have any personal bravado as though we could do anything. We can't do anything. We are becoming comfortably numb in the prison house with the invisible chains and bars and the fear-driven narrative now. Don't speak. Don't say. Don't do. And the home of the free and the land of the brave is turning into women. Women. Every knee shall shake. Water, like watery knees. They're afraid. Don't you get it? They love their lives. They don't want to stand for Jesus. They want to stand for their own ministries. They're protecting their 501s, their wealth. They're protecting their houses and their cars and their money. They don't want to go to jail like Rodney Howard Brown did to stand up against the powers, or John MacArthur did when he stood up against the powers, or some of the Calvary Chapel pastors that stood up against the powers. See, most don't want to. They want to protect what they have. Used to be in the book of Hebrews that the people willingly suffered the loss of all things so that they could worship Jesus Christ. They didn't even take deliverance. They chose to be crucified that they might have a better resurrection. Oh, what force will God bring against this hypocritical nation? I don't know. But God is God, and his word is true. And this is the final call. And Christian men are acting like women. They are cowards, and they are afraid. They are fearful to open their mouths. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame that Christian men are silent in the face of such obvious hypocrisy. God bless true men, not muscle-bound men, true men who have a true relationship with Jesus Christ and say, Lord, if you went to the cross, I'm going with you. If you spoke in a world that hated you, I will speak in a world that hates you. God bless true men and women who love God enough to stand in the gap and not be deceived and not cave into the pressure. We don't know how severe the persecution will be. We don't know. But we know this. Nothing happens until God says. Those two witnesses, you don't touch them until God says it's okay. You don't touch them until they're done. Why don't you, sir, why don't you, ma'am, take the rest of your life and start speaking and doing what you've been put on this earth to do? Shout from the housetops. Cry from your prayer closets to the Lord. Prophesy and shake the earth with your words. I'm waiting for your call. I'll go into our chat room for just a little bit longer. What a shameful thing for people to be afraid. Shame on cowards. You know that the Bible actually says that cowards in Revelation 21 are going into the lake of fire? Did you know that? Cowards are going into the lake of fire. The fearful, the unbelieving. Cowards are going into the lake of fire. Can't we be bold for Jesus? Not for ourselves. Can't we stand up for something other than ourselves? If all we're trying to do is save our lives in this world, we're going to lose our life in eternity. That's what Jesus said. Can you receive the rebuke? Can you receive the reproof from a piece of dust? Can you? Stop trying to save your life. I'm not advocating stupidity. I'm advocating wisdom and narrative and conversation for the saving of souls by speaking the truth. That's all, in love. I just know from the Bible what's going to happen. I'm not making it happen. The Bible says that God's going to send a powerful force against a hypocritical nation and crush it. The Bible says that the power of the holy people is going to be dashed to pieces. The Bible says it, that there's coming a great tribulation that's never been before, will never be again. And the church and the people of God will have no influence at that time. The Bible says, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Are we afraid to speak God's word? Remember, the time comes where the people say to the prophets, speak not unto us right things. Say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us these hard things. We're living in that time right now. I've got a call coming in. 818-369-0326, area code 479-366. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Good morning. I was thinking about the scripture where it talks about where the salt, it for us to remain salty, and so that our salt does not get trodden under the foot of men. And I don't know what that looks like, but I do not want to be a part of it. And so, you know, the encouragement is to call on the power of this Holy Spirit to just simply obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm learning about the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's no light thing.
Amen to that. It is no light thing.
Praise God.
Thank you for your admonition. I appreciate that. God bless you.
You're welcome.
You know, thank you so much. The world, the devil, listen, he hates Christians. Let's just become clear about something, okay? The devil hates you if you are a Christian. You live in a world that is hostile against God and his son, Jesus Christ. You live in a world where the religious leaders hated Jesus Christ, the son of God. They hated him. If you are a Christian, you cannot escape the reality that you're hated, but you won't get persecuted as long as you shut your mouth and be a secret Christian. You won't have any opposition if you shut up until you're taken to the concentration camps for just being one, if they ever found out. If you are a silent Christian and you don't want to shine your light before men or release your salt, okay, so you just got to face the fact you're a Christian in a hostile world. You are the enemy of Lucifer, the god of this world. You're the enemy of Satan, the one that had power to give to people whatever they want in this world. You are the enemy of everything contrary to God. Whether it's a nice thing that's contrary, a good thing that's contrary, it's still contrary. And if it's contrary, you're the enemy of it. Jesus was very clear that when we became Christians, we were taking up our cross and following him, and the three things we needed to overcome was the world, the flesh, and the devil. We go against the flow. We're Christians. Are you ashamed of being a Christian? Oh, it's easy to be a Christian in Northwest Arkansas. Oh, it's easy. But listen, the warfare that's coming and the voice that will be released and the word of God that will be released is going to draw nasty against your life. There's no doubt. The devil's going to raise up haters, confused children of parents. They're going to raise up false reports like they did against Jesus. They're going to raise up accusations and slander. And the cowering Christians are going to think they were right. Oh, my God. Wake up, church. This is the final call to let your voice be heard so that when you do go before the Lord, at least you could say, Lord, I opened my mouth for you. It's going to get darker, but the words of God will shine like a brilliant light. You can't stop opposition if you're a Christian in this world at this time. But what Christians have been able to walk through in the past in America with the new world order of things, not going to be able to. I'm waiting for the moment that Nero is going to blame the Christians for some major event that's ready to happen. Maybe the left is going to assassinate Joe Biden to bring Kamala to power and bring in some other folks, but they're going to blame the Trump supporters. Maybe the left is going to prepare a false flag event, a massive shooting to go after the guns and blame the right. You know, those terrible maggots, those Christian Trump supporters who are not fit for polite society, who need to be re-educated and de-radicalized. You remember those people? And Christians are going to run and hide like little mice because they don't want to stand in the gap. What a shame. The article that Joyce brought up in that magazine, that a Christian ministry or a Ted Cruz or a Newsmax or a Fox News station or churches that some of my friends out there tell me their parishioners are standing in the gap with CNN. What a shame. What a sham. It's the truth. I have the freedom of speech, not because America gave it to me, because God gave it to me. He made me a speaking spirit. And he has told his people from the beginning of the church age, speak the word of God. Speak. Now, what would we like to say to the left and to the world powers and to these wicked, evil people, which they are? Jesus and his generation called them scorpions and serpents and snakes, and they are. Well, what would you say? Repent. Of course. Repent. I'm telling you, the final call, some final lives being harvested is right now. If you will open your voice and speak the truth, if you will share the gospel, I'm not telling you to share what I'm sharing with you. You don't have to go repeat what I'm saying. I'm just saying what you need to know so that you'll have urgency to go and win souls. And if your way of winning souls works, then do it. But tell people about Jesus Christ. See how many people you could bring in. Shout it out in the church. Go to your church when they start telling you stories. Stand up in the middle of your church and shout. This isn't what you need to be telling the people. Tell them the truth. Take your pastor out for a cup of coffee. Tell them the truth. Y'all are very quiet out there today, but let's see what some of our friends are saying on our chat room. All right. Dennis Osman must hang on to the word because the word is not corrupted. It's not an interpretation by someone. Amen. Great point, Denny. Kevin Hauger, the media is also to blame because they didn't research out the full story. They only want to sell their agenda. Yeah, they are the opiate to the masses. There's no doubt about it. Terry Shannon. Hello, Terry. Sarah, he says, the Antichrist will persecute the tribulation saints. Left here after. Okay, we've got a little dialogue going on theologically there. Praise the Lord. Keith Carey, we were lied to that special forces broke in to take the laptops of Congress, especially Pelosi. Yeah, a lot of lying's been going on. A lot of lying's been going on. Vincent, Joe Biden just yesterday signed an executive order to register and trace every gun owner 24/7. Find it through duckduckgo.com, not Google. Google is a tool of the Antichrist. Okay. So, wow. Samuel Grimes says the Bible is showing itself to be more alive than people believe and want to accept. I'm into that. Praise the Lord. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. But it appears that we've simply run out of time. You're probably looking at one of the weakest men on the planet, but refuses to be a coward. The boldness that we have comes from the Lord. It's not our own. Why don't you ask God for some? Why don't you ask God to give you boldness to stand up right now? Put your life on the line. Say what needs to be said. Tell the haters, the real haters, the left, they're the real haters. Take off your mask. We saw your hate for 9 months, and we see your corruption and your deception and your hypocrisy. And here's the word of the Lord. God's sending a force against you. I don't know who, and I don't know when, but he's raising up a force like the Assyrians, and they are going to crush whatever you've been hoping for in your little lullabies about having your communist comrades in power in this country. Your dreams are coming to an end and your eternal soul is on the line. Your rejection and mockery of Jesus Christ is going to offer you eternal damnation. You won't mock when your soul is tormented forever. You won't laugh. You won't have your friends, your buddies. You won't rage and be angry. Your days are numbered. They are numbered. And God knows every single moment of your existence. America, America. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, this is your final call to wake up and church in America, lukewarm, Laodicean, Thyatira church in America. Woe to you if you do not repent. Woe to you. That's it for me. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. God bless you. Right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Omega Radio. You'll be blessed. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.